This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, what's up, everybody? It's Dirt. I want to thank you for taking some time out to listen to the podcast of our show, brought to you by Les Schwab Tires, doing the right thing since 1952.
In this wide world of sports, some stories can slip through the cracks.
Now, before we do this, let's go over the ground rules.
This is the Daily Ticker, where Dirt and Sprague visit the insiders that are covering the stories you've heard about, and some you haven't.
How'd you do that? Actually, I'm not even mad. It's amazing.
The Daily Ticker with Dirt and Sprague on 1080 The Fan.
All right, 12:35, Daily Ticker time. We were talking Oregon and Auburn, and one gentleman that was there in attendance and saw Auburn come back to beat the Ducks 27-21 was Adam Rittenberg of ESPN. You can catch him all over ESPN.com, SportsCenter, ESPN+, and he's on Twitter at ESPN Rittenberg. Give him a follow. We tweeted out his show handle with our show page, and he joins us now. Adam, thanks for the time here in Portland, man. We appreciate it. I'll just start with the game. What were your thoughts on Auburn's comeback in that second half?
Sure, guys. It's good to be with you. I think it was an impressive comeback on a number of levels, especially doing it with a true freshman making his first start on that stage at quarterback in Bo Nix. And the fact that I know Oregon was a little shorthanded at receiver, so was Auburn. Anthony Schwartz was a real explosive player who wasn't out there for them. But you could see it turning as the game went along. I think you could see that the line of scrimmage, and that was one thing that Gus Malzahn talked about after the game, that they made that a point of emphasis. They felt Oregon had controlled the line of scrimmage in the first half, and Oregon did, and Auburn started to change that a little bit. I wouldn't say it was the best game I've seen from their defensive line. They weren't as noticeable as you kind of come to expect with Auburn, but Big Cat Bryant made some plays. Coe made a play towards the end, and then Oregon, obviously, I thought they played really well defensively for most of the game, but you get a hot quarterback at the end, and your offense isn't really doing much, and the better team tends to rise at the end. I think Auburn probably had a little bit more talent overall than Oregon, and it showed at the end of the game.
Yeah, that defense was on the field for a lot in the second half. Eventually, they're going to break down. What was your biggest takeaway from the Oregon angle? I mean, it's a tough one for fans, granted, because they've had struggles in that stadium and the Auburn National Championship game, of course, sticks out, and they lose on another essentially last play. And a lot of Oregon fans feel like they probably should have won that game, and they had it. They just made too many mistakes in the first half. What was your takeaway from the Oregon angle?
Yeah, just to your point, they lost the game in the first half. They should have been up, I would say, at least 21 points, given how they played and how Auburn played. I mean, again, mistakes are part of the game, but you just can't have an exchange issue with a veteran quarterback and a veteran running back after your receiver, or sorry, your return man gives you a great chance to score. You have to score there. I mean, at the very least, the field goal. And it goes from a likely touchdown or at worst a field goal to a field goal on the other end, which is fortunate because the Oregon defense came up big. But I think there's certainly some things to build on, but also some concerning issues, just the inability to control the line of scrimmage in the second half, wearing down a little bit defensively against the quarterback who I think has a long way to go as a passer in Bo Nix, even though he played well towards the end of the game. And then there's the coaching issues. I'm sure you guys have talked about them. I know that Stanford last year and this game were different, but those are pretty glaring mistakes on the sideline. And that's the difference when you get into games like that. Mario and his staff have done a tremendous job in terms of building up the talent level of the program. But coaching matters, and it's going to make a difference sometimes. And I think in part it made the difference on Saturday.
Adam Rittenberg, ESPN, is our guest joining us to talk about the Oregon-Auburn game. What are your thoughts on Justin Herbert?
Very, very impressed. I mean, I think anyone that's criticizing Justin Herbert or saying he's the reason that they lost is out of their mind. I think he was really good for much of that game, especially in the first half. You're showing his athleticism, showing his arm strength, obviously not playing with a full deck as far as the receivers go. And that certainly could have made a difference even towards the end of the game. But I really liked what I saw from Justin. And I think he's in shape to have a great year if they don't let that loss really linger. And I don't think they will. So I came away impressed with his vision, his arm strength, his athleticism, and I think he's really everything you want in a quarterback.
Yeah. Yeah, the coaching angle I do find really interesting for Oregon, because that was an issue going back, as you mentioned, to last year, and fans are not huge on Marcus Arroyo, and then that second half happens, and now it's just escalated to a even higher level. What do you want to see most from the coaching staff moving forward? Because as you mentioned, the recruiting angle has been great for Oregon, and they're stockpiling it with talent and the best recruiting class in the history of the program last year. But you got to have both. You got to have the Jimmys and the Joes and the X's and the O's. What do you want to see most from their coaching staff moving forward the rest of the season?
Well, I think it's hard to be great at everything. It's hard to be great at recruiting and be, you know, elite in-game coaches. But I think it's something you have to evaluate. You have to acknowledge that you can't have an issue like you had on the sideline with those two timeouts, just too valuable in that situation. It's an unfortunate deal that Justin, you know, has that injury, which wasn't serious, but at that point in time in the game, right before a key fourth and one,
right.
But you have to be prepared. And that's where the great coaches, the in-game coaches are. They're prepared for everything. They don't panic, and they find a way to overcome things that just naturally happen over the course of the game. As far as the Arroyo criticism, I just point to the fact that they came out and scored a touchdown on their first possession of each half. That's pretty good for me. I think he called a good game overall. You're dealing with an excellent defensive line. I thought Auburn's linebackers really rose to the occasion as well in the second half, especially Tut, 33, was flying around. And so, you know, I think to really pile on there is probably a little bit unfair, although, you know, from an Oregon standpoint, you want to be able to run the ball for an entire game, not just for a half or for 2.5 quarters. And so it all goes together. But I just think to dismiss some of these issues that have happened late in the game, you have to be a tough critic as a coach, and you ultimately have to be prepared for everything that happens.
Absolutely. Adam Rittenberg, ESPN, is our guest on Twitter, at ESPN Rittenberg. Give him a follow. One of the major college football writers for ESPN. I had somebody tweet me over the weekend, Adam, a random, like, hey, the Pac-12 sucks. I just want you to remember that. And then I looked at the slate and I said, okay, half the ACC lost their games. The SEC had three of their four losses were embarrassingly bad losses. If you took Clemson, Bama, Ohio State, and Oklahoma, if you just took those four programs out, couldn't you make an argument, Adam, that really all these conferences are generally the same outside of the monsters in college football?
Without a doubt. It is, we're in that conference discussion, especially this time of year, because of the non-conference play. But, you know, yeah, you're right. Does it matter that the Tennessee, a team that was going nowhere, lost to Georgia Southern? Yeah, it's embarrassing for Tennessee, but it doesn't affect the SEC's playoff picture, or that Missouri lost to Wyoming on the road. I mean, Missouri's been a nice story, but, you know, they're not going to be in the playoff. Neither is South Carolina. So you can really do that with every conference. The problem for the Pac-12 is that Oregon, if they win this game, they are in the playoff conversation, and they beat a team that of relevance and a team that might go on to a pretty good season in the SEC. We'll see how it goes with Auburn. And that didn't happen. And so, yeah, I mean, you still have Washington winning their game convincingly, and Utah impressive on defense, especially in the Holy War. And, you know, Stanford had a nice win against Northwestern. So you have some other teams that played well, and I don't think, you know, Arizona or Oregon State's performance should be held against the Pac-12 too much, just like Tennessee's and Wyoming or Missouri shouldn't be held against the SEC. But we just get into that discussion a lot this time of year.
Yeah. What were the biggest takeaways for you week one? I mean, it was not a lot of marquee games, I guess, some shocking upsets, some big comebacks. What stood out to you the most from week one of college football?
Oh, well, you know, I think Clemson still looks really good. That's not a shock. Same with Alabama. I think Jalen Hurts, what he was able to do, and I know Houston's not a great defense, and he'll face other defenses, even in the Big 12, that are a little bit more talented. But the way that he is integrated into that offense with Lincoln Riley was really good. I know he wasn't pleased with the outcome, but I think a lot of us that were watching saw some really good things for Oklahoma on both offense and defense. And so they're a really interesting team on a number of levels because of the recent Heisman Trophy winners, because Jalen Hurts coming from Alabama is so unique. And then defensively with Alex Grinch, a guy that you probably know from his time in the Pac-12 at Washington State, stepping in as a defensive coordinator, trying to improve one of the nation's worst units. So we're going to learn a lot more this week. And LSU and Texas is a massive game, probably the first true big time game of the year, other than maybe Auburn, Oregon. And then, you know, Texas A&M and Clemson should be a revealing game to a degree. So, but I think the Oklahoma and Jalen Hurts storyline, and really all the transfer quarterbacks, whether it's Justin Fields at Ohio State, he looks pretty good, and some of the others are going to be a story throughout the season.
Anything we can pub for you, Adam? Anything you want to put out there to the masses for people for coming on our show?
Well, it was great to be on with you guys. I'll have a piece on Thursday, kind of opportunity week for some of the Group of Five coaches that may be moving up to bigger jobs, and even some of the Power Five coordinators. You know, Luke Fickell, Ohio State alum, now at Cincinnati. He's going to be taking his team into the Horseshoe to face the Buckeyes. So huge opportunity for him. Jeff Munkin of Army, who I just spoke to about an hour ago, he's taking Army into the Big House to face Michigan. So there's a number of those chances that, you know, and they're all massive underdogs, but man, if one of them pulls off a win, it's going to do wonders for that coach and that program. So I'll be looking at those guys on Thursday.
Well, that piece sounds great, man. And even if they don't win, at least they can cover and make people still happy and root for Luke Fickell and Army all year long. Adam Rittenberg, ESPN, one of the national college football writers on Twitter at ESPN Rittenberg. He was in Dallas for Oregon and Auburn, our guest here on the Daily Ticker. Thanks so much for joining us, Adam. We always love having you on, and I'm sure we'll have you on sometime down the road.
Anytime, guys. Really enjoyed it. Thanks.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.